Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom, and my name is Brandon. Today in the studio with me, I have Linda and Josh. Welcome back, panelists.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
And we are talking about the face of the future, our technology article. It is February 2nd. We hope that you are having a great day, and we thank you for joining us. We are talking about the new iPhone, the iPhone X, and what is the feature called that we're talking about, Josh?
Well, the feature on the iPhone X or the iPhone X, which is new, is the Face ID feature.
Yes. And what did we learn about that yesterday, Linda?
Well, it uses your face to unlock your phone and to do other things.
Yeah, you can pay for things, mm-hmm. right? It stores that information in the phone about your face, and it recognizes it. You see a picture there on page 10 of how it, I guess, sort of works, and we're going to talk about the specifics of that today. But you can actually just glance at the phone, at the device, and it is able to unlock your phone. Now, we also talked about Touch ID, which many of us are familiar with. Of course, you use your finger to unlock your phone. It knows your fingerprint. Many of us have become accustomed to that, but now we're going really a step further.
We are really going a step further. So, and not just with Face ID, but facial recognition in general. So facial recognition is something, it's a technology that is not exactly new. It's part of the biometric technology or ways of using the measurements of certain parts of your body in order to verify your identity. Yes. But here, Face ID really takes that process a step further. So it's developed it even further than it has been before.
Yes, and you pointed out a word that was really important yesterday, biometrics. And Josh just gave a great explanation of that. Of course, it is used to identify people. That's the facial recognition technology that is part of the biometric technology. Actually, that feature, Face ID, is what's behind that is biometrics, and also the Touch ID. All of that is what we're used to using these days. I know I get tired of typing in passwords, and many times I forget them, especially if I haven't gone to a website or something like that in a long time. So it's nice, Linda, to have this for convenience sake, but some people are concerned about the security.
Right. They feel that it might be too personal, or it might be an invasion of their privacy. So some people are maybe reluctant or not comfortable with this new technology.
Which is very common when we have something new, right? Especially with technology, people are concerned about the security issues surrounding that, and we will talk about that as well today. If you have your magazine, please open it up to page 11, or you can also follow along on your digital device. Right now, we will have our first reading for today.
How it works. Face ID takes facial recognition a step further. It works by relying on an advanced suite of technology, including an infrared camera, flood illuminator, front camera, dot projector, proximity sensor, and ambient light sensor, packed into the front of the new iPhone X. To set it up, hold your iPhone X in front of your face and move your head around slowly. That becomes the stored version on your phone. To use it, glance at the front-facing camera. The dot projector beams out more than 30,000 invisible infrared dots, and the infrared camera captures an image. Apple uses the infrared image and dot pattern and pushes them through neural networks, a kind of machine learning model, to create a mathematical model of your face, and then checks that model against the stored image captured during the setup phase. Once it detects a match, the phone unlocks.
Okay, so we are going a step further. We We're accustomed to using Touch ID. Now we are using Face ID if you have the new iPhone X. And Face ID, well, it goes a step further. It takes facial recognition to places where we haven't yet gone. How does it work, Linda? Let's start off. We have a lot of terms here. Let's break it down here just one item at a time. How do we start?
Well, it relies on an advanced suite of technology, and that includes an infrared camera. And this is a device that creates an image using invisible radiation, infrared rays, which are characterized by certain type of wavelength. And it's longer than visible light, but shorter than radio waves. And it's usually between 300 gigahertz to 400 tetrahertz.
Wow.
If you want to get technical.
There's a lot of technical words there. All right. So first of all, a suite of technology is a set of related software or a set, kind of a technology set, I guess you would say.
I think a lot of people might be familiar with Microsoft's business suite of programs. So that includes like PowerPoint and Excel and Word. They sell it as a group of programs that are designed to work together for a certain purpose.
Right. Okay, so we do talk about this infrared camera that Linda was talking about just now. And then we also have a flood illuminator. Josh, what is that?
Well, a flood illuminator is a camera feature that uses this invisible infrared light in order to illuminate the face. So I think maybe one of the concerns is that, like, can your phone see in the dark? Like, if you need it to unlock, but you're in a dark room, can it do that? And the question I'm going to guess is answered with a yes, because it uses this flood illuminator in order to beam this invisible light on your face to be able to use it as part of the recognition process.
Right. Okay. And also it has, of course, a front camera. And then it has this dot projector, which is a system that actually projects infrared dots onto a surface, which in this case would be your face, in order to create a dot pattern, which is then used to develop a map for biometric imaging. And you can see in the photos there at the bottom of page 11, is one, you know, you see dots and it's mapped out. And so it's mapping out. It's like points on your face and it maps that out. And that is used during this biometric imaging process. Okay. And then, Linda, we have a proximity sensor. First, what is the word proximity mean?
That's just talking about the distance, so how far away something is. So it senses how close or how far.
Okay. All right, and so that's used in detecting, I guess, you know, how far your face is away from the camera?
Sure, or even maybe how far the dots are away from the camera, so that it's more than just checking a two-dimensional image.
All right. And then what else do we have, Linda? What's the last thing they talk about here?
Ambient light sensor. And so that's going to measure the light that exists or is present in the area around it or you.
Okay. Now this is all packed into the front of the new iPhone X. So there's a lot going on here with the iPhone X, and this is actually, you know, getting into the details of it. You don't really have to know all of this to use it, but it helps you to understand the process, right, if you're wondering how it all works.
It does, and it also explains how Apple is kind of taking this technology a little bit further. So it's more than just mapping out the way that your facial features look on a picture or a two-dimensional image. It really is taking a lot of different information into account.
And actually, they use something, it's called the True Depth Camera. I guess that's what Apple calls it. This is from their website. It captures accurate face data by projecting and analyzing over 30,000 invisible dots to create a depth map of your face. and to also capture an image, an infrared image of your face. So there are a lot of dots involved. Mm-hmm. A little more detail there. Well, how do you set it up, Linda?
Well, you set it up by holding the phone in front of your face and moving your head around slowly. So that way the phone will capture the image and store it in your phone.
Okay, so it has the image stored there in your phone. And then how do you use it, Josh?
Well, to use it, all you have to do is glance or make that quick look like we talked about yesterday at the front-facing camera, and that this dot projector beams out those 30,000 invisible infrared dots that you mentioned, and the infrared camera then captures a complete image.
Okay, so then Apple uses the infrared image and dot pattern and pushes them through neural networks. And what is that, Linda?
It's a computer network of simple processes that are connected and function in ways that imitate the human brain.
Okay, so it mimics this network that mimics the human brain, and we get a little more information there. It says a kind of machine learning model. And so if it's learning, Josh, I would think it would be changing over time. It can learn new things as things change.
Yeah, so here there are different ways that machines can operate or even learn, like in artificial intelligence. But here this is a model or a particular style of machine learning that's based off of those neural networks, which is copying the way that the human brain processes information.
Okay, so this network is used, and it creates a mathematical model of your face, and it checks that model against the stored image. So you've already stored the image of your face in the phone, and then when you glance at it, it checks against that. And if it doesn't match, well, it won't open. And actually, this Face ID feature, it adapts to changes in your appearance. So, you know, if you're wearing makeup, you know, it can detect that. It can, or if you've grown facial hair, it can adapt with all of that. And so if there's a more significant change in your appearance, maybe, for example, you had a full beard and you shaved that, Face ID will confirm your identity by using your passcode before it updates your face data. And so they do take a lot of these things into account. Mm. You know, maybe people are having these questions, well, what if I do this or that? It seems to be quite sophisticated.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you would trust Apple to really try and make as sophisticated and user-friendly a version as possible.
That's right. Well, once it detects a match, the phone unlocks, and so that's what it's all about. And we kind of dove off into the technical side there. Well, this is a technology article after all. You know, if you want to know more information, you can do a little research, go to the Apple website, and you can check out more of the details.
You know, I just wanted to say, Brandon, that I'm used to seeing this biometric technology in movies because we see it a lot, like Mission Impossible movies and those sorts of movies with secret agents, and they use like retina scanning or, you know, facial recognition to get in somewhere. But here we have this technology now right in our hands.
I know. How does that make you feel?
I guess it's just, you know, that's how the times change, you know.
Are you trying to tell me that you don't feel like a secret agent every time you pull out your phone?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
All right, well, get this new iPhone 10 and maybe you will. I don't know. It is expensive, though. Well, that's how it works, but what about the privacy concerns? Some people are thinking they are not going to use this because of privacy concerns. Let's find out about that in our last reading for today.
Privacy concerns. Despite major investments in the biometrics field, shoppers outside a Los Angeles Apple store overwhelmingly said they were squeamish about the idea of facial recognition. "It feels like privacy is getting scarce," said Byron Miranda, who was shopping with his family. "There comes a point where you go too far. I don't want my phone recognizing me that way." Shopper Mike Strong, a 29-year-old who serves in the Navy, simply called it creepy. But just as users were quick to come around on Touch ID, the same is likely to happen with Face ID. Time and again, Apple has pushed through innovations and made them widespread while turning others obsolete. Think about what iPods did to compact discs and what the iPhone did to the BlackBerry. As Steve Jobs famously said, a lot of times, people don't know what they want until you show it to them.
Okay, so there have been major investments in the biometrics field. And, you know, yesterday we learned that this industry is projected to bring in a lot of money, $5.5 billion, this year, or this was written in 2017, but anyway, in recent months and so forth, it looks like this is a big industry. Lots of money is being poured into it. So there have been major investments into this field. But some people, Josh, they're saying it's not for me. Who do we hear from in this article?
Well, the first people we hear from are shoppers outside of Los Angeles Apple Store that overwhelmingly said they were squeamish about the idea of facial recognition.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're squeamish about something, you're not really, certain of it, right? It makes you feel kind of uneasy. And they don't like the idea of using this technology. And who is the first person we meet here, Linda?
Byron Miranda. And Byron says that it feels like privacy is getting scarce.
Okay. So that means if something is scarce, you can't find it, right?
Right.
Very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, privacy is not easy to get. You can't really attain that. And so he's saying he wants something that doesn't invade his privacy so much. That's the way Byron feels. And Byron was there shopping with his family, and he said, "There comes a point where you go too far. I don't want my phone recognizing me that way." Now, why do you think someone would have this kind of response? Do you think this is over the top, crossing a line? Is he really need to be that concerned?
Well, there is something that's a little bit unique about this type of recognition. So when you're talking about a fingerprint or a retina scan, mm-hmm. or even the DNA, that it's a little bit involved in order to get not just the information, but also to get sampling. So you'd have to go find something you touched in order to get a fingerprint. You would actually have to take a picture of the inside of your eye in order to get a retinal scan. But facial recognition is something that I think a lot of people are concerned about, because any camera could conceivably use that information to identify you anywhere you go. And since we all know there are cameras everywhere nowadays, this sort of squeamishness might be involved with it being very easy to recognize and track you even without your consent.
All right. And, a lot of people, they're concerned about this. Others are saying, let's go for it, But people have their reservations about it for sure. Well, then we meet shopper Mike Strong. And he is in the Navy. He's 29 years old at the time of this article. And he called it what, Linda?
Creepy.
Creepy. What does he mean by that?
That it's just really strange and it makes him feel really uncomfortable.
Okay. You can imagine why, I guess. He doesn't like the idea of the phone scanning his face. Well, will people come around? It says, next, just as users were quick to come around on Touch ID, the same is likely to happen with Face ID. And if you come around to something, Josh, what are you actually doing?
Well, if you come around to something, it's you're eventually you agree with whatever position or idea. So if you don't believe in something or if you think that something is creepy, eventually you'll come around and embrace it and accept it.
I agree with this statement completely. I think many times people react and, you know, they're against something. But and with time, people will be using it. And it will be really widespread, and people will accept it. It just takes time. Well, time and again, Apple has pushed through innovations. You know, I like this part, you know, about Apple, and you could use this for different companies, actually. But they're looking into the future, and they know that maybe people won't accept certain things in the beginning, but in the end, they will win, in a sense, because they know this technology will take off. I think they do a lot of research, and, you know, they will bring something out that people will eventually accept, even if they don't initially do so. And I think that's kind of risky in some ways, but it's also a bold move. And so we see here that Apple has done this before. They've done something that's very innovative, but it turns out to become very widespread. And it turns some other, you know, innovations obsolete, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they have a couple good examples here in the article of things that Apple has helped turn obsolete. And I think one of those that's pretty, you know, understood is the fact that people don't use CDs hardly at all anymore because Apple made MP3 players like the iPod so popular and so easy in order to have a lot of music that you carry with you that even CD players are somewhat difficult to find anymore. And you can hardly even find CD players on new laptops.
Yeah, what's a CD?
Exactly. And now they also mentioned here that the BlackBerry, and some people may not understand really how Apple made the BlackBerry obsolete, but if you remember, the BlackBerry used to have a physical keyboard on the phone, which the big innovation that Apple came through with doing the iPhone was having a touch screen that had no keyboard on it whatsoever. And today, every smartphone has a touch screen. Hardly any have physical keyboards anymore. So it made that physical keyboard obsolete as well.
Right.
That's a very good point. Those are some things that have become obsolete. Well, we have a famous phrase here, or say, something that Steve Jobs said that is famous. What did he say?
A lot of times people don't know what they want until you show it to them.
Okay, what does he mean by that, Linda?
Well, people really don't know what they want. They haven't been exposed to something that they might want. So once you present it, then they'll realize that, oh, this is something that I could use. You know, this is something that I will use. But they would never think of it
on their own. You have to, you know, be gifted in that area or do a lot of research to know that, right? What people really want. For example, with the BlackBerry, you know, you had the physical keyboard there. And to go take that a different route, you know, a lot of people might say, no, I don't want that. I really like this. I can't imagine changing that. But, you know, Steve Jobs wasn't afraid to go in a different way and make something that is standard now.
Right.
And so I think that's, of course, what he's talking about here. Well, we do have a sidebar there down at the bottom of page 11 that says Smart ID, and it tells us a little more about this Face ID feature, Josh.
Yeah, so it talks about how Apple has, you know, done a lot of work in order to make it sophisticated enough to work in the dark and also to learn your face under different circumstances. So not only is it good at working in different circumstances, but they also work hard to make sure that the technology can't really be easily spoofed, right, or tricked.
So you can't mess with it to manipulate the data or the information, you know, to hack something and so forth. And so that's really important. And so photographers, you know, won't fool it. And Apple even worked with a professional mask maker, with professional mask makers and makeup artists in Hollywood to protect against attempts to beat Face ID. Now, why are they saying that? What are they talking about, Linda?
Well, you referred to earlier, like if your face changes, like if you grow a beard, if you put on makeup, will, you know, Face ID still work? So here they did tests to make sure that it does, that it can't be fooled, this feature on the phone.
Right, so they're also kind of like making sure that you can't Mission Impossible the phone.
Yes.
Right, so you couldn't make a prosthetic or a recreation of somebody else's face and then be able to trick their phone into unlocking for you.
Yes, a key component of all this, though, is your eyes. Okay, your eyes have to be open. You can't be looking away. Okay, so you do glance at the phone, but you have to actually, you know, lock into the phone with your eyes and not just be looking away. But
though it makes me wonder, like if I had Brandon's iPhone 10 and I was like, hey, Brandon, is this your phone? And he looks at it, I'd be like, thank you.
Oh.
ATM, transfer.
Oh, tricky.
Rich.
Yeah, that's not true. Don't bring your phones around Josh. That's,
that's
the moral of the story.
The point, yeah.
Well, you would also hope that maybe as a part of their robustness or making sure that this really is secure, that if somebody is trying to get you to unlock the phone from like 5 feet away as opposed to like arm length, that would be maybe not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't specifically say that here, but I would imagine that would probably be part of their efforts in order to make it really very safe.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of day two of our technology article. Tomorrow, we are switching gears a bit. We will be talking about Bitmoji. So we hope that you will join us then. And I hope you will let us know your thoughts about this topic. Do you like it? Would you like to unlock your phone by just glancing at it? Well, go to our website, studioclassroom.com, and let us know your thoughts. And we hope you will come back tomorrow for day three of our technology article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.